My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to have another teaching today. And this teaching is part three of the mysteries. Part three of the mysteries. And we're going to make sure you get your Bibles out, because this is a teaching lesson. And that way you can learn the scriptures and utilize the scriptures to study yourself, to show yourself approved, and you'll be able to really enjoy the scriptures. And we're going to turn to Colossians, and we're going to deal with a mystery called the mystery of Christ in you. Fantastic doctrine. This is the only place these mysteries are at. This is in Paul's writings. And you can learn a tremendous amount from them. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians is in your New Testament, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you've got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then you've got Galatians, Ephesians. You have Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start on verse 26. Everybody get your Bibles out, because you can really learn this way. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26. It says, "Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints." Who are his saints? The saints are always the believers. We don't have to go to sainthood. We can become saints as soon as we believe the gospel. It's manifested to us. It says, verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Gentiles are us. People who are not Jews. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. "To the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Never, ever before was told in the Bibles, anywhere from Peter, James, and John's writings, all the way from even Christ's ministry and all the Old Testament saints, never, ever heard such a thing, that Christ is going to be in you. And we find this is it's just fantastic. When you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a member of the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they all make up one God. And this one God is going to be you. So you can say that Christ is living in you, and it makes all the difference in the world, because he keeps pointing you closer and closer to him each and every day. Let's turn to Galatians. This next verse is fantastic. We'll go back to your right, go back to your left. You go back to Ephesians and then Galatians. We're going to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20. And it says, this is Paul writing, of course, and he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Think about that. Christ liveth in him. Christ liveth in us. The greatest thing that ever happens to a believer, when they truly believe the gospel, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, and they're all one. And they live in us. And it just blows my mind when I really believe the gospel. And the difference in my life was just 100% different, totally. And it's because Christ is living in me today. Christ is speaking to you today through me, because he's living in me. And it just changed my life, and it'll change yours just as much. And it'll draw you closer to him each day, and you'll have a thirst and knowledge of the scriptures. You'll want to study them, and you want to read them, and God will open your eyes so that you can, and you can truly enjoy them, and you'll want to share them with others. Let's turn to Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians. We're in Galatians right now. We're going to turn back to the right. Galatians and Ephesians. Ephesians is the next chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. We'll start with 12. It says, What we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted. He's talking about us. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel. See, that's the word of truth, the gospel. That is what I've been preaching, is the gospel for what? Your salvation. If you want to be saved, you believe the gospel for your salvation. In whom also, after you believed the gospel, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I call that the second most important verse in the Bible. The first is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, lays out the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and that He rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And when you believe that, and you truly believe that in your heart, you'll be saved. And you now we see what happens. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when you can say that Christ is in you, Christ is in you because of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. He's walking with you daily. He walks with me daily. He points me to Jesus and everything that I do. Everything. It's just all the old things that used to get in my way, they're just kind of disappearing. And they've disappeared in a great way. Oh, I'm not perfect. I never will be. But I will be way more perfect now that Jesus is walking with me. And He loves me and He cares for me. And when I make a mistake, He just picks me up and gives me a hug and puts me in the right direction. He's paid for my sins. How wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're going to go back to our left. We'll go back to Galatians, 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 2 through 5. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 2. It says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's all he preached, was Jesus crucified. Because when he was crucified, when he died, he paid for our sins. And we can now be with the Lord because we believe that. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear." He was a human being just like I am and you are. "And in much trembling. And in my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man and wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." You see, that's God in you. You have the Spirit in you because you believe the gospel and you have power. He's kind of like me. I kind of fumble around and make mistakes, but he just overwhelms that with the power of the Holy Spirit. It says that your faith should be not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us, and that's what it means by when Christ is in you, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, and let's go to verse 12. It says, "Now," verse 12, same chapter, "now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He opens up our eyes, see, so we can understand these things, "which things also we speak, not in words of man's wisdom teaching, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, look, the next verse, verses 14, tells us what we were. It says, "But the natural man," that's what we were before we believed the gospel, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." We can all attest to that. In our natural mind, we were a long ways away from God. It says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, not the things of the Spirit of God, for they were foolishness unto him. Neither could he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's the way we were before we believed the gospel. We were spiritually discerned. We couldn't understand the Word of God. Think about it. Back before you become a believer and you believe the gospel, if you went to church, you couldn't keep your mind on what the pastor was saying. You'd listen to him for a little bit, and before you know it, your mind was every place else. From time, all of a sudden, the service was over with, and you didn't have a clue what he talked about. I had that happen with me and my dad and his pastor. We went there to one day. My dad was in a wheelchair, 94 years old, and he was in very bad shape, but we took him to church when he could. And the pastor walked right down amongst all the people, and he preached the gospel. And then the next Sunday, they came back, and he was going to continue with that. And he asked them, now, what were we talking about last Sunday? And there was probably 50 to 75 people there. And there's only one or two people that even come close to what he had been talking about. Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They were spiritually discerned. How many times have you read the Bible before you believed the gospel? And you read a couple of verses or three or four. When you got done, you didn't know what you read. But you see, that's because God wasn't in you, but now he is. It is just remarkable. It's remarkable what God has done for us and it does for us. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're in 1 Corinthians. We go to 2 Corinthians. And then we go to Galatians. And we're going to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verses 22. This is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it means by that. This is what the Spirit does in a person's life when they believe the gospel and Jesus is in you, sealed in you. When Christ is in you, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm telling you, people, when you have Christ in you, when you have Christ in you, the love of your life becomes just magnified by 100. You thought you loved your wife before. You just can't believe what God works in your life to show the love that you have him when you have the Spirit in your life. When you are wives, you can't imagine how much you love your husband and your children and your neighbors and your friends and your people that are in church with you. You just have a totally new love for them. You have joy no matter what situation you're in. You have a peace, and you have, it says peace next. Peace and joy is in your life no matter what situation you're in, because you know that Christ is in you. You become long-suffering. That means patience. You have patience that you've never had before with your children and with your loved ones and with your friends. You do anything you can, and you stand back and you just love them and care for them and have patience and work with them to bring them closer to God and to teach them the gospel. You have a gentleness that you never had before. All of a sudden you don't have these tantrums where all of a sudden you jump down on somebody's throat. You don't do that. It's just the Holy Spirit says, whoa, think about this. And he just gives you a second chance. And it's just wonderful knowing God is with you. You have goodness and you have faith. You have meekness, your self-control. And it says against all these things, there's no laws. Against all these things, there's no laws. Now we're going to go to another mystery. It's called the mystery of the rapture. The mystery of the rapture. And let's turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to go to our right through Ephesians. And we're going through Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then Timothy. And we're going to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And we're going to talk about the rapture. And the rapture is when Christ is going to come back and take his people off of this earth and take us to heaven. That's where our hope is, to be in heaven with him. And it says, this is going to happen, and this is when it's going to happen. This is the times that he's going to come back for us. It says, this know also that in the last days, this is the days just before the rapture, in the last days, perilous times. This is chapter 3, verse 1. Perilous times shall come. For men shall become lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Man, does this sound like it is today? Without natural affection. Think what's happening today without people with not natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good. Man, it's constantly. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What's happened to our world? We've got all kinds of things that people have got. They turn to things instead of God. And they love their things that they do more than they do be our lovers of God. And this is just today. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. They deny the power of God. They deny the Holy Spirit. And they try to be good. They have a form of godliness, but they totally do not have God. And they deny the power of God. All these things show us that we're in the last times. Okay, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. We go back to the left. We go back to the left. We go back to Timothy, and then we go to 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at it in chapter 2. And it says, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our about the gathering together unto him. That's about the rapture. But also now they were people were telling them that they were in the last days, and they were saying that they were in the day of the Lord, but they weren't. The day of the Lord is when the Antichrist is revealed. But it says that you may not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or by word or by letters, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is present. It wasn't present. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that the day shall not come except there is a falling away, or a better word for that is departure. Departure, until there's a departure, and that's the rapture of the people that are believers in the gospel will be taken away. It says, and then, it says, the man of sin will be revealed. The son of perdition, which is the Antichrist. This will be the starting of the tribulation. But it can't start until the church is gone. And the church will be taken out by the rapture. Now let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians. We just go back to the next book. And this is probably the best verses that we have on the rapture. 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 13. And this is the tremendous verses here, so make sure you got this written down. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13. It says, but I would have not you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. He's talking about people in your family or friends that have already died. That you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. You see, when we go to a funeral where we know that person was a believer, that he believed the gospel, we know we don't have to sorrow because that person is not dead. His old body's dead, but his soul and spirit is a perfectly alive with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what happens, going to happen to him. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, what is that? That's the gospel. You see, you don't become a believer until you believe the gospel. We do not enter to heaven unless you believe the gospel. And if you believe the gospel, you will be involved in the rapture. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who also sleep in Jesus will bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. You see, the ones who are asleep are the people who have died, and their soul and spirit are in heaven. And when they're going to come back with the Lord, their souls, and we won't precede them. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are dead already will rise first. They will get their new bodies in a twinkling of an eye, and they're joined with their soul and spirit that has been in heaven, and they will be one and evermore with the Lord. This is that then we who are alive, if we're here alive when this happens, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and to meet them in the air, we will be changing in a second into our new bodies, and we'll be caught up into heaven with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Moreover, comfort one another with these words. This is the rapture that we're talking about. This is the rapture, and it's tremendously important, and it's something that we can look forward to, that Christ is going to come and take us off of this earth. And when that happens, then God can deal with the Jews. Then God can deal with the unbelievers. See, we're not apart. We're totally set apart. This church, this body of Christ that we belong to when we believe the gospel, is totally set apart from this world. And he's going to take us out to our heavenly home, and we'll go to be with the Lord forever. And then God will come back now, and he will deal with the Jews. Let's look and see where we stand, what we have when this happens. Let's turn to Romans. Let's turn back to Romans. Turn back to the left to Romans. And we're going to see Romans chapter 11. And we'll see what's going to happen as soon as the rapture is over with. Okay, we'll see it. It's in Romans verses 25. It says, Romans chapter 11, verses 25. And it says, I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel. Until, that's a time word, until a certain time. And it says, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. What they're saying is, with the fullness of the body of Christ is virtually all Gentiles. A few Jews could be there, but it's primarily Gentiles. When God says the church is full, then when he takes us out, then he can deal with Israel. And this is exactly what it says. That's the time. When we leave, they would be dealt with, and God will deal with the Jews at that time. So we see that we're going to be to go to heaven to be with the Lord in the rapture. And let's look at 1 Corinthians. Go up to the right, just the first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to be dealing with verse 9. And it says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You see, we can't even comprehend what God has prepared for us. We can't comprehend what heaven's like. You see, it's hardly ever spoken of in the scriptures. It just talks about it's a glorious place. There's not any words in the English language that could be used to describe what we're going to be involved with. It's beyond our comprehension what we're going to be dealing with. It is just tremendous. Now let's turn to see what we're going to be like. Let's turn to Philippians. We're going to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go 2 Corinthians. We're going to go through Galatians and Ephesians, and then Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies, that it may be fashioned like His glorious body. Think about that. We're going to have a brand new body, totally new, and it's going to be fashioned like Christ's glorious resurrection body. It's just going to be wonderful. Wonderful. And I just can't comprehend what it's going to be like. But you get an idea, because when Christ rose from the dead, He was in that glorious body. And it looked like Jesus. It had resembled Jesus, but it wasn't Him, really. I mean, it was His glorious body. And He just moved about. You know, He didn't have to walk anywhere. He just was there. All of a sudden, He just appeared with the disciples. And then all of a sudden, He was gone. And that's how He moved for 40 days. Just, we're going to have a body just like that. It's just going to be wonderful. And I just, I can't comprehend how wonderful it is going to be. Because of this, because of what God has done for us, and that is the hope that we have for our future, it is just blows my mind. I can't wait till I be with the Lord, just kind of like a child waiting for Christmas. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I can't wait, because I know that what we're going to have in heaven is going to be just beyond our imagination. It's because we believe the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead. You believe that, and you're going to be saved, and you will know that you will be with the Lord for eternity. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank You so, so much for all that You do for us. And I pray that You'd open the hearts of each person that I talk to, that they would receive the gospel, that they have this assurity that I have of salvation. I pray for their salvation, that they would believe the gospel. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.